2 Corinthians chapter 4, speaking this morning about keeping the fire burning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received of mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our God be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And that is the thought that is kind of behind this whole message this morning. In light of the meetings we had this past week, you know, the purpose of a revival service is to stir us up. Amen. To keep the fire burning, to restore it if need be as well. You know, we heat our house with coal. To keep the fire burning is essential to keeping the house warm. On occasion, if we go away or somebody forgets to put coal in, then it gets kind of cold. And you either have to get it built back up again or even have to start it all over again. If it goes out, you got to clean out all the ashes and get everything out and then gather the materials and get a wood fire started first and then gradually add the coal to it to get the thing going again. And that whole process there will probably take anywhere between 1 or 2 hours, and the first 30 or 40 minutes take some pretty constant attention to it. But even after you've got the coal burning finally, you're looking at 4 to 8 hours before the house is actually warm again. It's better to keep it going. It's better to not let it die down or go out if you can do that. You know, there's a good spiritual lesson in that. Keep the spiritual fire burning. Don't let it die down. And certainly don't let it go out. If you let the fire go out, just like in the natural explanation here, spiritually it takes a while. Amen. To get it built back up again. Amen. And that's what this past week was about, stoking that fire, keeping it going, getting rid of the things that are cutting off the airflow to keep a good fire from going. God's given us some things through this past week and the messages of Brother Smith. And I hope you'll remember them. The things that God identified in your life that need to be dealt with, need to be stirred up a little bit. The messages, most of them are on the website. If you want to go back and listen to them, I encourage you to do that. You look under revival, and then you can pick out, and all of the past ones are there, including, you know, from all, not just Brother Smith, but take some time to look at those. But I want to look at the three things that we need to do about keeping the fire burning. The first you need to do is you need to remove the ashes. Remove the waste material. Remove the things in our lives that are keeping us from having a good fire burning. Go over to James chapter 1 for a moment, please. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 19. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath." Quick to hear, quick to listen. Attentive to what's being spoken to you. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man that beholding his natural face in a glass. For beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." There's several things in that passage that apply to the application I'm making here. He says, first, you need to get rid of some stuff. Verse 21, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Those things that interfere with the coal from being to burn, being able to burn. Get rid of those things in your life that are a detriment to your growth spiritually. Cut them out. Those ashes, you know, get them hauled away. Get them out of the way there. And he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. That's which feeds the fire. We'll get to that more in just a moment. But he says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. You need to do something with what you've heard. You could have been here for every message all week, but if you're not going to do anything with it, Amen. It didn't do you any good. We need to be swift to hear. What has God identified in your life that needs to be dealt with? Have you spent some time since Thursday night addressing those things? Let God work in your heart. Accomplish the things that he wants to do. Get the things out of your life that ought not to be there. Look at Psalm 68. Psalm chapter 60, or 66, excuse me. Psalm 66 and verse 18. Psalm 66, 18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." You know, we sometimes have our little favorite sins that we don't want to let loose of. That's regarding iniquity in your heart. That there's that thing that God's put his finger on in your life, and you're just not willing to let loose of it. God says, "I'm not pleased with that. I don't want that in your life. Get rid of that thing, because it's going to interfere with your relationship with God." John 15:3 says, "Now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you." The word of God is that cleansing agent in our souls. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Starting at verse 25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. See, that word of God is what helps to clean us, to get us right with him. Go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You get rid of the waste in your life, the ashes, by taking heed to the word of God. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Getting the word of God in you and keeping it there helps to keep us clean and right before God. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in me, and cleanse me and lead me in the way everlasting. Got to get the things out of our life that don't belong there. If you let the waste build up, it affects the airflow that keeps the fire going. You don't want to do that. You know, we have the Lord's Supper four times a year. That's a time specifically about attending to the things in my life. But you know, if that's the only time you address that, it's a long time to let the fire die down. It's better if, as our verse there in 2 Corinthians 4 said, day by day. You keep that thing going day by day. It's better if every 2 to 4 hours we put some coal on our fire at home. That's what keeps the house warm. Because if you wait 6 or 8 hours, you know, in the morning you got to kind of get things going again and it's cooled off a little bit. And it takes a while to get it back up again. That same thing happens in our lives spiritually. Day by day. You know, sometimes we need a little shaking too. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's that shaking. You know, we have a responsibility to one another. You see a brother or sister starting to step out of the way. Now, Galatians 6 warns you about that. He says, well, let's look at it. Galatians 6:1. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We have a responsibility to try to keep each other walking in the right way with God. But you better be very careful that you got your own house straightened out before you start messing around with somebody else's. He says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Sometimes folks get involved in somebody else's life when they need to spend more time on their own. But we do have a responsibility to provoke unto love and to good works. The word of God, the preaching of the word of God is that provoking, that stirring up, that shaking to get the ashes away from the fire so the air can blow through there. You need to remove the things that ought not to be there. The second thing is you need to add fuel regularly. This is the fuel, folks. It's sad how many Christians ignore this book all week long and never open it. We just read some of the verses. Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Look at the verse behind me. The entrance of thy word giveth light It giveth understanding to the simple. This is not just a book. This is God's word.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians says this book will effectually work in those who believe. When you read this thing, you need to understand this is what God has given to us.
Amen.
God purposely gave this to us, preserved it, preserved the translation of it into English in the King James Bible. I believe in the inerrancy of scriptures. And when I say that, I mean that which I hold in my hand. I've got an inerrant Bible. If you don't believe you got an inerrant Bible you can hold in your hand, then that doctrine is meaningless. And God gave this to us for a purpose. It's His Word. And we have a responsibility to take heed to it. Look at Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Verse 12. First book of the Bible written. Job 23:12, it says this, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Because that's all Job had was the commandment direct from God. He had no written Bible. But he says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job had a high value on God's word. More than his necessary food, he esteemed that. We ought to have a respect for this book, and we need it to keep growing spiritually. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1, 1 Peter 2, 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. This is how you grow. This is what keeps that fire burning in your life. I got saved in 1975. I got saved by reading this book. Coworker witnessed to me, started asking him some questions. That was on a Monday. And he stopped that night, Monday night, or Wednesday night, excuse me, it was Wednesday. He stopped Wednesday night and he says, I can't answer all your questions. Read this. 23 years old, never had a Bible in my hands, raised Roman Catholic. I didn't know the Old from the New Testament. But that night, I just started opening the book and reading it. And I was amazed how this thing came to life in my hands. Like God met with me right there in my living room, my trailer house. And God began to deal with me and show me some things. And the next three or four nights, I sat there and I read this book and I read this book. And I just randomly started reading. And it was like every place I turned, God says, boy, you're in trouble. And the more I read, the more trouble I realized I was in. Finally, I went to that co-worker's church that Sunday morning and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. From that day on, I've understood the power of this book. How it'll change my life if I feed upon it like God desires for me to do. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. But he says, let it dwell richly, because this book will change your life. It's not like any other book on the face of this earth. Hebrews chapter 5. And this really identifies, I think, a problem in Christianity today. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12. Hebrews 5:12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers. Paul writes, he says, you should be here. You should have progressed to this point. But he says, you have need that one teach you again. You need to be back in children's church again instead of the main service, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not a strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful, and the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belong to them that are full age, even those, look at this, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We're talking this morning in Sunday school about the idea of, well, should you let Jehovah's Witness into your house or not? Or other Mormons or other cults? Well, the problem for most people not being able to let them in their houses because they're still babes. Amen. And still needing somebody to teach you again. But it's those who have grown and by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil that can then take the word of God and sit down with them and say, look here. You're telling me this. Here's what the Bible says. Or here's a verse missing in your Bible. Or here's what you're twisting about the scriptures because you read this verse and you ignore what's before it and what's after it. And that's the problem today, is too many Christians aren't feeding on God's word. The fire's not burning enough. You need that fuel in your life. We need it daily in our lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. Hear instruction. And what? Be wise. And refuse it not. He says, listen to it. Receive it. Don't reject it. Blessed is the man that heareth me watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Think about the things that were mentioned there. First, he warns about hearing instruction. That's wise to do that. Blessed is the man that heareth watching daily, waiting. God, what do you got for me this morning? God, what do I need to hear from you to help my life, the fire in my life to keep burning? For whoso findeth me findeth life and obtaineth favor of the Lord. God finds, you find favor in that thing. Look at Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Do you realize that this is the only thing that we have direct from God on this earth? I mean, yes, the Holy Ghost lives inside of us, but this is something tangible. This is from God. His word settled in heaven, but he sent it down to us. And when I sit and I read this book every day, I'm hearing the voice of God. His word from his lips. That Job said he esteemed above his necessary food. Not too many of us ignore the dinner plate, but we ignore this. That's sad. That's sad. Daily we need that. But go back to Hebrews chapter 10 once again. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start with verse 24 again. We've already read that. We'll read that again. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. He says, you ought to be there when there's church. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. This supplements what you do through the week as you're sitting there reading the Word of God yourself. And then we come together and we have the fellowship with one another and the stirring of the preaching of the Word of God in our lives. You know, if our down to my stove and pull out a coal and pull it away from that fire, it might just, you know, be burning real good and red hot, but it's not long. That's going to cool off. That's what happens to believers when they forsake the assembling of themselves together. You got to keep adding that fuel, and the fuel needs to stay together to keep a good fire going. So you remove the ashes, you add fuel, and thirdly this, you need to keep the air flowing. You got the draft below, and then you got the damper, and the whole thing is the idea of got air coming in the bottom and going up through that fire to keep that thing going, and then the smoke going out the top, the chimney. That's important. You know what that air flowing is? It's the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 3, he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell when it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is likened to a wind in several places in Scriptures. And prayer figures into that as well. It's yielding, through prayer, we're yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God in our lives. Look at John chapter 14. When you get saved, you get the Holy Ghost. And you get all the Holy Ghost that you're ever going to get. There's no thing that you can do to get more of the Holy Ghost. What happens is, he gets more control of you as you progress in your relationship with God. You don't get more of the Holy Ghost. It's just he gets more control of you. That's what's needed. And what's the purpose of the Holy Ghost? Look here at John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I can't tell you the number of times I've been talking with somebody or even when I'm preaching. And something will come to mind, it'll come out of my mouth. Now, some of the things probably shouldn't, but when it's of God, it should. And it's like, where did that come from? Well, I know where it came from. It's the Holy Ghost. Bringing to remembrance something I've read when I was sitting in the morning reading my Bible. And it's given the answer that's needed at the time for whoever I'm talking to. And as I yield myself to his control, he has more freedom to flow through me to minister. Look at John chapter 16. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come. This is an amazing book. And you know, no man has ever mastered this thing. Again, in Sunday school this morning, I told you that first and second John. I don't understand that. There's a lot of things I don't understand in this book. But like Mark Twain said, it's not the things I don't understand that bother me. But it's amazing how God will give you answers in time. You puzzle over something, you pray about it, you keep studying the scriptures, reading through them, and all of a sudden God says, hey, look here. And I've ridden this thing cover to cover 102 times, and there's still stuff I'm discovering here. God says, here's one for you. Take this. That's the Holy Ghost. And I've got to be yielded to him, surrendered to him, to allow him to teach me and to give to me what I need. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul had some amazing things revealed to him. He wrote half of the New Testament. And much of what he wrote was a new revelation. Mysteries that were undiscovered prior to God revealing them to the Apostle Paul. The mystery of Jew and Gentile being made one in Jesus Christ. Paul got that revelation. And he writes here in 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 10, he says, but God hath revealed, well, let me back up a little bit. Start in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Paul says, God's got some stuff ready for us. And he says, it hasn't even entered into your heart. You can't imagine the things that God has for you. But he goes on, he says this, but, verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. For we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Ghost gives us that understanding. We go to the source, the Word of God, but then he has to enlighten us to be able to understand that. He says, the natural man doesn't receive these things. An unsaved person isn't going to grasp it. They're only understood by the Spirit of God. We need to let him flow through us to keep that fire burning. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You ever been there? Some burdens on your heart. God, I just don't even know how to begin to pray about this thing. I don't even know what to say. Well, there's the answer right there. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So, with the charismatics saying this is some kind of a prayer language, that's nonsense because it says they can't be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You get down on your knees and you just open yourself before God. Back to that Psalm 139, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and cleanse me and lead me in the way everlasting. See the cleansing, and then you're open for the leading of the Holy Ghost working in your life, helping you to pray as you ought, giving you that understanding. But there's two other verses I want to look at. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. So the Holy Ghost is this so important in our walk and our relationship with God and keeping that fire burning. But he says this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He says, don't grieve the Spirit. How do you grieve the Spirit? By resisting. By not relinquishing control to the Spirit of God in your life. By letting some things build up. Look what the next verse says here. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You get the stuff out of the way that's restricting the flow of the air through your life, the Spirit of God through your life. One more, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. We're not to grieve him, and we're not to quench him. What's quenching the Spirit? What do you do if you quench a fire? You put it out, right? You put out that conviction of the Spirit of God about something in your life. Nope. Never mind. Don't want to hear that. Not going to do that. Don't quench the Spirit, because that'll kill the fire in your life. It'll put it out. Keep that fire burning, folks. Keep things stirred up. Don't let it die down. So easy to do. And the fellowship one with another is a help to keep that fire burning in our lives. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, we thank you again for the meetings we had this past week. Thank you, God, for the bold preaching of your word. Thank you for the conviction that came to the preaching of your word. Oh God, help us to maintain the fire that's been kindled. God, help us to continue to walk with you. God, continue to give a burden for the lost souls around us as well. Help us, Lord, to be more bold in our witness. Amen. Help us, God, to be more faithful in our attention to your word and more sensitive to the Spirit's prompting in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn your